It's been a while since I have interviewed a fellow youth worker for our podcast. I actually have an interview that I recorded clear back in March of this year that kind of got put on hold as life turned extra crazy for me in the spring and summer as I wrapped up season one. Tonight, as I listened to the interview to prepare it for release, I was amazed at God's timing. You see, I interviewed my friend and fellow youth worker, Michelle Pick, who is a teacher of over 19 years. I've spent the past 2.5 months each day subbing in our middle school. I see daily what teachers walk through, and I see daily what our young people experience as well. In my heart, I know this interview was supposed to release now because God knows someone needs to hear the message today. So let's go ahead and get started. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them, and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. I am so excited to introduce everyone to my friend and fellow youth worker, Michelle Pick. And she has joined us graciously on the podcast today. And one of the things I absolutely love about her is her heart for young people. You can't make that up, how much she loves young people, getting to watch her see it and getting to see the young people with her and how much they love her in return is just amazing. I wish you all could see it in person, but the best we can do today is get her to talk about it a little bit on our podcast. So just like to welcome you, Michelle, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. That is high praise. So I hope that I have enough interesting things to say to follow that up and to match that.
Well, I'm sure you will. So why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about who you are, what you do, who's Michelle?
All right. Well, I am a wife and I am a mom of two girls. They're 14 and 18 now, actually. We live in Sioux City, and I teach at the Sioux City Career Academy full-time. And before that, I taught at East High, and before that, I taught at Helan. I teach English, senior English, and over the years, I've taught other things like ACT prep and journalism and honors English, creative writing, contemporary lit. I don't remember all over the years what I've all taught, but I think just as importantly is the work I do being an advisor for the student council. I've done that for, I think, 13 years now.
And tell us a little bit about or what you do in your role as an advisor.
Well, just like any other activity that has a coach or a director, I would be that for the student council. So really my role is to guide and to lead the leaders of the school. Seems like it gets a little deeper than that sometimes because it's such a busy group, but that's my job.
A good place to start, you know, we're talking about young people or teens or youth. So I always like to ask people to tell me what you remember what it was like in your teen years.
Well, Deb, it wasn't good. I'll tell you that. Oh, my teen years. Right at the beginning of my teen years, my parents got divorced. And my mother remarried rather quickly. And because of that, we moved a few hours away from where we had grown up. We had, you know, been raised with the same parents all our lives. And we were really embedded into our school and our church. We were in about every activity there was to be in. And we participated in everything, probably mostly because it was a small school, not because we were so great at everything, but just because everyone did. And my brother and I were actually on a church weekend called Breakaway, Youth Breakaway. It's on the other side of the state, or it was in the 90s. And we came home from that. And my mom said, hey, I got married this weekend. And next week, we're moving to another town. And we did. So that kind of started the chain of events where I was in a few different schools. And of course, there's really no room to join activities, you know, when you're bouncing around and things like that. So it was pretty rough.
So what role did your faith play in your teen years, and particularly in some of those hard seasons?
The interesting thing is that I didn't realize at the time that it did. And that was okay. I mean, it turned out okay. I think just having that basis growing up, you know, through the years, just being in that small church community, three times a week, we would go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And then if there was anything extra, we did that. My parents participated in, you know, different levels of either, you know, music at the church, or they would teach Sunday school, things like that. So having that basis there probably is what kept me almost like a magnet grounded, I think, throughout it all, because looking back, it's rather surprising that I turned out okay, I guess. So when I started as, you know, an honor roll kid involved in every activity possible in fine arts and sports and 4-H and everything. And then really, I barely passed high school when it came down to it. I kind of eked by there.
So I'm sure that your own experience allows you a certain level of empathy in the students you connect with on a regular basis. And it's not just the honor students that come to you or student council. Kids are drawn to you. So tell me what role your empathy plays in the work that you do with the students.
Another interesting question, because it really does give me an extra level of empathy, I think, because I have been there. But it's a double-edged sword. Because I've been there and I did make it through, I don't know. I see the potential in the kids. And so I have a really hard time accepting excuses or, you know, sitting back and blaming trauma or letting trauma dictate our paths. To me, that's when you dig deeper and you dig in to the ground and you propel yourself forward with it. And, you know, maybe that's a somewhat privileged way of looking at it, because that was my experience, but I know that it can be done. Right. So yeah, I think it helps, but it also, it's a unique angle. And the kids are always surprised. I mean, not that I talk about it a lot. I really don't, but it has come up and it's been useful to say, hey, you know what? You might be surprised, but I identify with you. And on these levels, like, I've been there and I know you could still do it.
And so you said one time before, you told me there's a phrase or something you guys have that you say in your family. So what is that?
Is it, I think it's find a way or make one. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
I actually just said it today because we are doing projects at school, and it's surprising to me how many kids will come and they won't have things done. And I really don't assign a lot of out of class homework. I give them time because I understand, you know, what kids are up against. I give them in class time, but occasionally there are things either if they don't get them done or we just need to make use of outside of class time. But it's surprising that kids will come and say, I didn't finish that chapter this weekend because I had to work. And I'm thinking, you work 24 hours a day every day this weekend? Oh, so today I started with, hey, everybody, raise your hand if you have to work this weekend. A few hands went up. Raise your hand if you have something fun planned. A few hands went up. Raise your hand if you're going to find some time to lounge and relax and spend time with your family. Hands went up. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to make room for all those things. And we can also make room for working on our projects, you know, because I said, literally and figuratively, I have about 1,000 tabs open all the time. And we just find a way to get it done.
And they need to hear that. Young people need to hear that, that we hold them accountable. One of the things that is, I don't know if it surprised me, sometimes it surprises me, but sometimes it refreshes or it reminds me of what I needed as a young person, is this idea of high expectations or consistency. So they're going to hear from you the same time or all year long. If they're in your class, they're going to hear that same message and they're going to hear the consistency of what you expect from them. Do you think that's important in some of the work that you do, is that consistency for young people and that expectations?
Yes, it's important in all of it. And not to the point of being rigid, of course. There's such value in spontaneity and being flexible, but consistency in structure and framework, and for sure in expectations. I have a student teacher right now, and we talk about that a lot. And I tell her, you know, the kids will meet you there. No matter where you set the bar, they will meet you there. If you'll accept anything and put up with excuses and and accept mediocrity, well, that's what they'll give you. But if you consistently push and push and require a better level from them, they will give it to you.
Right. That's right. So what is your favorite thing that you love about young people?
They make me laugh. They surprise me continuously with how clever they are and what they come up with. There's just never the same day twice. There's never a dull moment. Today at the end of the day, a girl said, Mrs. Pick, do you want to see a video of my bird growling like a dog? Sure. I would like to see that. They're unique. They constantly keep you moving. I feel like I feed off their energy a little bit too.
That helps as a youth worker, right? If you come in excited and if they energize you, I think that's something that, you know, that I've learned no matter, even in the difficult seasons I've walked through when my dad was sick, I remember coming back many times on Wednesday night to be there in time for my youth group because I felt that I needed to show up. But the other piece of it was a little selfish and that it would fill me up. So when I'm around young people, it fills me up with their energy and their excitement, and it just makes me love them all the more.
Yeah, it's definitely a give and a take.
So what are some of the challenges you face when working with young people?
Within the school, I think the challenges come more so not from the kids themselves, but from the uncontrollable factors, like things like policy and standardized testing and schedule conflicts, things like that. Other than that, barriers, you know, their kids have barriers that we can't always control. One interesting thing that we just talked about this week when the East High kids were talking about the upcoming prom, and they talked about prom tickets and with the prom dinner and said, oh, prom tickets are 20, the dinner is 10, so that means 30. And some kids from another school in town said, are you kidding me? That is so cheap. And they were like, our start at 50 and they go up to 75 the longer you wait. And I mean, this is a school with, I don't want to quote the number right off the top of my head because it changes so much, but a very large percentage live below the poverty line or on the free and reduced lunch group. So to charge $50 to $75. So just thinking of that as a barrier. Then in addition, they have a dress or they have right. a suit and they have to take the night off work to go or, you know, find childcare, or they can't be the childcare for their parents who work. So just barriers like that are the biggest challenges because not everybody's on an even playing field, as we know.
That breaks your heart. You see them sitting kind of on the outside looking in at times because they, you know, whether they don't have the skills, if they're trying a sport or they don't have the availability, like you said, because they are the childcare for their parents who work or work overnights. And it's hard to watch that. And it's hard not to get caught up in wanting to fix some of those problems. So how do you work around that? I think it's a natural idea to want to help and solve problems, but how do you handle it when you can't fix the problems?
Well, first and foremost, I do every time there's a problem, every time I hear of a situation like that, I do all I can to fix it. But it is so daunting knowing there are so many more that either we just don't know about, or like you said, we can't, maybe we can't, but we do the best and we give the kids the benefit of the doubt and we work with what we have. That's where the flexibility comes in.
Right.
They have to be, and it's a good job. I mean, it's a good thing for them to learn to be resourceful too in those situations. We can find resources. We can help point them to resources. You know, how do we accomplish things when it's not easy? It's a good lessons for them.
What role do you think being a cheerleader plays in your role as a, well, whether it's a parent to teenagers or in the classroom as an advisor, what role is cheering on, encouraging? How important is that to the work that you're doing?
Encouraging kids is so important because more than ever right now, they have so much going on. We're just coming out of a pandemic and there are all sorts of pressures. They're involved in so many things and they have to get good grades and they have to get good scores and they have to go here and do this and they have to be good kids and they need encouragement to keep going and to realize it's all for something.
Is there something common that you see across the board, regardless of if the student does well in academically or struggles? Is there something that you see is kind of something that a lot of young people experience that's a struggle for them right now?
I'm seeing a lot of kids who struggle with self-worth. They don't feel that they're good enough, that they're doing enough, you know, in basically any arena that you can think of, whether it's they don't measure up in how they look or what their grades are, the awards they're earning. Maybe they're vying for certain spots within their sports or activities and they just never get the recognition that others do. I think they just feel like they're kind of, it's the world is up against them right now.
What impact do you think their self-worth has on their ability to move forward at times, make decisions, or be able to achieve all the things that they want to achieve?
They don't recognize their worth. They're more apt to give up or to accept mediocrity from themselves. They might start making bad choices, or they might slip further back than they feel that they can get out of.
So I talk a lot about 12 key developmental outcomes, and self-worth is absolutely one of the 12 key outcomes because so much hinges upon it. And, you know, I sub, so I'm not always at the same school, and you're in and out of different classrooms. But one of the things, I had the opportunity this spring to be in a classroom for 5 weeks and do a long-term sub job and really build some more closer relationships than you can do one or two days here and there. But just to see what it looks like when you can pour into that self-worth. There's one young man I'm thinking of specifically that was struggling. And the first week he cursed me out. But by the end of those 5 weeks, like, he came to an extra study session I had. You could just see him carrying himself taller and happier because every day I said to him, "You're not doing the work, and that makes me sad because I know you're smart and I know you can do it." And so somewhere in there, he started to do the work and he liked how that felt and he liked to have somebody believe in him. So do you experience that? Do you see the shifts in self-worth when you can pour into young people?
Yeah, all the time. Well, when I say all the time, it's not all the time really, but I think those are the moments that shine brighter. They're not necessarily often, but it does happen. Fairly with consistency. You always have a handful a year, particularly who are big turnaround stories like that. And they're kind of like the why. They're the ones who are like, okay, now this is, if I can make a difference in this one kid this year, if this is all I can do, it'll be worth it. But it's usually more than one.
I hate to do this, but we're going to pause the interview right here. In keeping with my promise that the podcast episodes will be short and easier to listen to in our crazy busy lives, the interview is going to be broken into 3 different episodes. We'll start next week with Michelle talking about some strategies for connecting with young people. I hope you'll join us. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.